whoremongers, and anybody else who may be tuned in at this very moment.
We are
Vasily Strelnikov
and Dmitry Lenin.
This time, we are making another trip on our whoremongers time machine, and...
No, we are not.
We're not? Why?
Do you care for detective stories?
Detective stories? Yes.
Then you want to know what sort of memorable date we are observing this year.
No. What kind of...
100 years ago, in 1887, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle published his first Sherlock Holmes story, A Study in Scarlet.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes. Wasn't he the guy with Nero Wolf?
No, he was the guy with Dr. Watson and the Baskerville dog.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
Whatever it is, this edition of Radio Moscow's Warmongers Monthly is... Study in Lead, for one of the most mysterious affairs of Sherlock Holmes.
A dreamy autumn evening was dying to give way to a night even more dreary,
cold and dank. Mr. Holmes was extracting Vivaldi's Four Seasons from his violin, one by one. Dr. Watson was for over an hour trying in vain to cheat his home computer playing dominoes.
Suddenly, the great detective stopped playing and said,
I say, Watson, in about 11 seconds, a stranger is going to ring the doorbell. He's 50, wearing a crumpled suit from Pierre Verdun, and slippers covered with dust that you find in New Mexico.
Indeed.
A man appeared in the room, looking exactly the way Sherlock Holmes described him.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Leslie Groves. I'm sorry to bother you at this late hour, but my problem is urgent.
Take a seat, Mr. Groves. Let's hear your story.
This has been going on for several years, you see. I own a small-time corporation producing, well, you know, fuel and power-generating equipment, and I also have subsidiaries in several cities.
What sort of equipment is it?
It's the kind of equipment that's used for producing electric power and for heating whole cities.
Well, it has to be very powerful equipment. Does it burn coal or gas?
Well, not quite. It works on, you know, graphite and heavy metals, that sort of thing.
That's fascinating.
Several years ago, one of my depots, storage houses, was robbed. The culprits took away a fair amount of it. I mean, of the fuel. And also some spare parts. I've been robbed again and again. So I'm asking you to please help me.
All right. We'll try to get your problem sorted out as soon as possible.
The visitor was just about leaving when he said,
I nearly forgot. And gentlemen, my fuel can explode.
Like gas or gasoline?
I'd say a lot worse, in fact,
said the visitor, disappearing behind the door. Mr. Holmes lit his pipe and picked up the violin.
Hey, that was really good stuff. Why do we have to stop there, huh?
You are tuned to Warmongers Monthly, coming your way from Moscow, and we'll continue after this.
If you want to join the Nuclear Club, get in touch with Handy Weapons Club Association. Of all the clubs in the world, the Nuclear Club has the greatest prestige, also because it is close to outsiders. This may be a barrier for some, but not for Handy Weapons Club Association. Call on us, and we'll help you get a membership card and the status symbol of each of its members, the Nuclear Sword. Formal restrictions are alien to us, and we don't ask for letters of recommendation. With us, there are only two conditions, pay in cash and behave the way the president of Handy Weapons says. So, come for your membership card to Handy Weapons Clubs Association.
We continue A Study in Lead on Radio Moscow's Warmongers Monthly. Next morning, the two detectives were having their coffee and sorting out the day's mail.
Look, Holmes. We have been set a date at Heathrow at noon.
Mr. Holmes took up the envelope.
This is from Mordecai Vanunu. He's an expert in the kind of equipment that was stolen from Mr. Leslie Groves.
At noon on the dot, the two men were at London's Heathrow Airport.
Good day, Mr. Venuno.
Good day, gentlemen. My plane is taking off soon, so I don't have much time.
I must confess, I did work for the Harbors.
Impossible. Yes, for quite a long time, too. They made me work for them at their secret hangout in Dimon.
Oh, yes, I have heard about Dimon, and they have another, too, at Nakhal Serek and Jarno. Have they had any contacts in the United States?
Well, I do know that at one point they received a power-generating unit from there, and men from the gang went there from time to time, you know. They learned the techniques at Oak Ridge and also at Argonne Forest.
That's interesting,
said Holmes.
Mr. Groves has his subsidiary plant there.
Yes, I swear to God. I'll tell you more. One of their men had a corporation called New Mech, Nuclear Materials and Equipment. His name is Zalman Shapiro.
Look, the who's who says Shapiro was one of the managers of Mr. Groves.
You're absolutely right. Zalman Shapiro supplied his gang with about 342 kilograms of refined fuel. But I'm very sorry, I'm in a hurry, I have to be going.
Mr. Venuno went on to board the plane, while Holmes and Watson got into a cab. Neither Venuno nor the two great detectives spotted two gentlemen in plain clothes who got into the plane after him.
Hey, listen, is it true that Israel has a nuclear weapon all of its own, huh?
Well, back during the 1973 war, when the situation was not in Israel's favor, Moshe Dayan urged the use of a Judgment Day weapon against Egyptian troops. Now Israel has up to 200 units of nuclear weapons, and Israeli Air Force pilots have been practicing nuclear bombing techniques on their American-made F-16s.
All right, and what happened then?
And then... detectives made a round at Heathrow Airport, went back, and bought tickets to a country in the east. On landing, they rented a Toyota that must have rolled off the conveyor back in the years when Dr. Watson was an army doctor in India.
Where are we going now?
Not far, about 25 miles from the capital,
said Holmes, and his face acquired a look of utmost concentration.
I hope you haven't left behind your gun, Watson.
It is always in my back pocket, together with a bunch of hand grenades and a set of alpine gear.
Fine. I was wondering why they charged us for overweight luggage at the airport.
The car ground to a halt near a clay hut with a thatched roof in the middle of a desert.
Quick, Watson.
The two men bolted into the hut and closed the heavy steel door behind them.
It was dark inside.
Odette?
Good day, Mohammed. This is me and my friend, Dr. Watson.
Wassalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, sir.
I received your telegram, my venerable Holmes. The brightest of the bright. The man you are interested in is called Abdul Qadir Khan. Many years ago, his gang sent him to Belgium, where he graduated the university and later got a doctorate. Since 1972, Abdul Qadir Khan worked at a special medrese.
Mohammed was referring to a laboratory of Urenco Corporation.
And once in 1976, that ungrateful jackal Abdul Qadir Khan ran off to Pakistan.
Could he have just gone home on business?
But before he left, he robbed his benefactors.
He stole secret manuscripts from them.
Mohammed was referring to working drawings of uranium enrichment systems that Abdul Qadir Khan took along with him.
It is thanks to them that the manufacturers are about to make, if they haven't yet made, their Islamic bomb.
Tell me, have they received anything from America?
My dearest Mr. Holmes, since early 80s, they have been receiving mysterious crates from there. They also used to get big boxes from Canada. Big boxes. They got 10, but then it stopped.
Because the 11th consignment of equipment for dressing uranium was captured by the Canadian police at Mirabel Airport in Montreal.
Thank you, my good man. Good eye. And here, have this as a memento.
Holmes gave the man a £1,000 check.
Heaven bless you.
Cheerio, Mr. Mohammed.
And now back to London. A nice-looking girl has been waiting for us at Baker Street for almost an hour by now, I think.
Deduction again, eh?
No. A telegram from Mrs. Hudson.
Oh. Is it true that Pakistan has nuclear arms, too?
Well, Pakistani nuclear specialists have more than once planned to set off a test explosion. Special tunnels for that have, in fact, been built deep in the mountains. So this Islamic bomb is something very real.
How on earth did they make it if nobody gave them nuclear technology?
Sorry, we have to make a pause here. Just a reminder that you are listening to Warmongers Monthly, coming your way from Moscow.
Wherever you are, Handy Weapons is with you. We can do more than sell and deliver arms or sponsor sightseeing and shooting tours. For those who want to turn civilian hardware into arms, Handy Weapons offers a choice of do-it-yourself kits. One of them will make your passenger plane into a bomber. Another will help you turn your nuclear power plant into a source of another power, water. Your desire and our ingenuity combine to make you the proud owner of the brand. Included in the kit are spare parts, manuals, and centrifuges for enriching uranium, and also computer software for calculating the critical mass. Handy Weapons also sponsors special training courses where you can acquire the necessary know-how. Call on Handy Weapons for a do-it-yourself nuclear bomb.
You are listening to A Study in Lead, in the program called Warmongers Monthly. By the time Holmes and Watson got back to Baker Street, it was dark.
Mrs. Hudson, will you please lay us a dinner for three? I bet the young lady must be starving. Ask her in. Good evening, Miss...
Miss Belgrove, sir. Good evening, Mr. Holmes, Mr. Watson.
Are you related by any chance to Mr. Leslie Groves?
Oh, yes. That's why I'm here. I think I can tell you something that may be of help.
Well, we'll be very much obliged, Miss Groves.
Some time ago, I was traveling about, you know. Once off the coast of South Africa, I saw a mysterious flash. It was very much like those I've seen at my uncle's plant.
Miss Vela was referring to a nuclear blast set off by the Republic of South Africa in the atmosphere in 1979. It was spotted by the American satellite called Vela. Velocity and angle of attack.
Thank you, Miss Groves. Could you please ask your uncle to come see me tomorrow?
Yes, certainly. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, Miss Groves.
At this point, Mrs. Hudson let in a sailor.
Good evening, Mr. Holmes. Do you recognize me?
Hello.
Captain Murphy. I believe you were implicated in the Moonstone affair that I investigated.
That was something Wilkie Collins wrote, not Conan Doyle.
Really? Never mind, Watson. I know what I'm talking about. All right, let's hear you out, Captain.
I found out about that gang long time ago. Would be about 20 years now, on my first voyage to Cape Town. From there, they took their loot to Paramaribo and Wallandabo, said Captain Murphy,
meaning two of South Africa's nuclear centers.
Have they got their apparatus?
Yeah, it works on enriched uranium, same as used in the bomb. But they pilfered whatever they could in other places, too. They got the vital stuff from Mr. Groves across the ocean.
Your captain was talking about the shipment of 300,000 empty artillery shells, which are used with nuclear stuffing, and also the documentation from the American and Canadian company Space Research of a howitzer that fires such shells.
Thank you, Captain. The picture is pretty clear now. Would you like a drink now?
Thank you. I think I could do with a shot.
Holmes spent the remainder of the night talking on phone. When the dawn came, he asked Dr. Watson to call up Scotland Yard and summon Inspector Lestrade with a couple of top men.
Looks like it could be a nice little skirmish, Lestrade. Just in case, put on your anti-radiation suit.
Right after breakfast, the doorbell rang and Mrs. Hudson let in Mr. Leslie Groves. His eyes were shifty and he was biting his lips. Just as he entered the room, the two tough cops got on top of him and after a short struggle, had him handcuffed.
What are you
thing you're doing. Who gave you the right?
Cut it out, Mr. Groves. You may have been unlocked. Nobody ever stole anything from your firm. You yourself gave the criminals the equipment for making super dynamite.
Can you prove that?
There's proof enough. We have established, for one, that your managers were rather members of your gang or had explicit instructions from you to give your men everything they needed.
I never sanctioned that. Rubbish. What about Zahn and Shapiro? And about those bandits that the FBI or the police detained in the United States and then quickly released at your request? All they had to do to be freed was to say they needed, or say, the gas centrifuge inventors to produce gas for stoves instead of enriching uranium, huh?
This never happened.
Dr. Watson is perfectly correct. That was precisely what Abdul Aziz Khan said when he was tried in Canada in 1984. And even that is not all. He also instructs some of them in nuclear technology.
Peaceful technology. But they make nuclear bombs with that technology.
Take him away and keep him under lock and key.
He sat down by the fire.
I say, Watson, the Chilean mercurial writes Chile has a potential for making a nuclear bomb.
Not a bad detective story.
Yes, sir.
It's a pity there was no shooting, though, you know.
Well, I gather with a skirmish in this kind of detective, nobody would ever hear it to the end.
I say, is Chile making the bomb?
Not only Chile. Taiwan and some other countries are also working on it. I can just imagine what's going to happen when one of those newcomers to the nuclear club gets trigger happy.
Yeah, and if national controlled satellites mistake that for an attack by one of the bigger powers. Yeah. On the other hand, what about the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty?
It's been signed by far from all nations, and some that have signed would probably do well to exercise discretion in sharing their nuclear technology.
Well, this is where we have to wrap it up for today.
Right. You have been listening to Warmongers Monthly.
Taking part in today's edition were
Julia Strelnikova, Alexander Schlichter, Sergei Arkhipov, Alexei Triumfov, and Joe Adamov. This script is by Dmitry Zakharov, Olga Shapovalova bungled up the music, and Tatiana Ivanova managed production.
And we are
Dmitry Linnit
and Vasily Strelnikov.
That you are tuned to our daily evening show tonight, coming to you in the North American service of Radio Moscow.